great word. We've already had worship. That's the sermon right there. The Lord's been good. Doesn't get any better than that. It's a brief word, brief word. Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, beginning at verse number 12. This our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and ask not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Amen. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Amen. I want to talk about they did not inquire of the Lord. They did not inquire of the Lord. How many critical decisions do we make in our lives and do not bother to ask God? There are people who change jobs, change cities, change marriages, change houses, change churches, change schools, change relationships, and they don't ask God. They ask their friends, they ask their neighbors, do you think I ought to get rid of him? Do you think I ought to get rid of her? But they don't bother to ask God who made them. And in this particular text, it teaches us that before you make any critical decision, you ought to ask God about it. Now, I'm not sure. I don't think God is really all that interested in what color your carpet is. I don't think God wants to know whether you drink milk, cow milk or almond milk. But when you get ready to make a major decision in your life, you know what a major decision is. You need to talk to God about it. And I know we're supposed to be a smart generation. And I know for a fact, our people, we are more educated now. We got more head knowledge. I don't know if we got more wisdom than our ancestors. But we've got PhDs, and we've got master's degrees, and we've got bachelor's degrees, and we've got associate degrees, and we've got high school diplomas. We are smart. But look at somebody and say, you can be too smart for your own good. That's what my grandmothers used to say. My grandmothers used to say, boy, you're just too smart for your own good. You're smelling yourself. And we are a generation where we think that, oh, I got all this education, I don't need to ask God no more. Let me just analyze it. Let me get all the facts and let me read. Let me study. Let me get the strategy over here. I'm networked. I don't have to ask God. I know Barack Obama. I know the mayor. I know the governor. I don't need to ask God. But let me tell you something. There are some things you better ask God about. The Israelites, God had been with them and brought them out of slavery, brought them across the Red Sea and brought him across the wilderness, provided food in the desert, water in the desert, water out of the rock. He promised them to take them to a promised land, and now it's 40 years later, and here they are on the edge of the promised land. Moses died. Joshua is the new leader, and he's approaching the promised land, and God wanted them to remember. Just sang that song, God's been good to me. How sad it is if we just sing that song, God's been good, and we don't name it. It ain't enough just to say, oh, God's been good, because God's been good to everybody, but he's got a blessing with your name on it. You and I need to name the blessing of how he blessed us individually. And ain't nobody in here ought to be sitting down on a song like that. And if you don't sit down, maybe you don't want to stand up, but every now and then a tear ought to just appear when you think about how good God has been. So here they are, God's done all of this stuff for them over the last 40 years. And here they are now at the edge of the promised land. And the enemies of the promised land, just because God promises you a blessing, don't think that the enemy is not going to try to stop you from getting the blessing. Do I have a witness in the house? Don't just think that the enemy is going to just lay down. He said, here, take my house, take my grapes, take my wine, take my land. The enemy said, if you want this, you got to fight for it. I don't know why it is sometimes we got to fight all the time. Deacon Robinson, I thought the civil rights movement was wonderful. But you know, we got to fight the same battle all over again. Their enemies is trying to roll back the clock. Do I have a witness? They just unveiled Rosa Parks down there in the Capitol. But let me tell you, they're still trying to tear down Rosa Parks, what she stood for. And if some of those rascals have their way, they'd blow up Rosa Parks' statue right there in the Capitol. You think that after one battle is over, that is over. Look at somebody say, it ain't never over. There they were. They were there at the corner of the promised land. And the enemies formed an allegiance, an alliance. So they all, the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites, they all came together so that they could fight the Israelites and defeat them. But God stood up and God allowed the Israelites to defeat them. But there was another little group called the Gibeonites. They decide they're going to try to deceive the Israelites. They pretended like they were from hundreds of miles away. And they're really neighbors. And they tried to deceive the Israelites. And the Israelites made a treaty with them without checking with God. You've got to be careful before you make an agreement. Be careful who you marry just because he's handsome. Be careful who you hook up with just because she's fine. Be careful. Be careful because it takes, you know, and then we say, you know, I want me a BMW. That's what women say. I want a BMW. What's that? A black man working. You need more than a black man working. There's a whole lot of black men working, but they're not good for you. Do I have a witness? You better inquire of the Lord before you make a treaty. Man, you know, we're no different. I want a sister that's fine and makes more money than me. That might be good, but it might not be good. The same kind of stuff comes to church. It's not just people making decisions out there in the world without inquiring of the Lord. We do the same thing in church. We make deacons without inquiring of the Lord. We make trustees without inquiring of the Lord. We call pastors without inquiring of the Lord. We call hired people without inquiring of the Lord. We think just because, you know, they got a job because they're smart, that they would be a great leader, a great officer, a great superintendent of Sunday school, a great leader in the church. You better inquire of the Lord. We build buildings without inquiring of the Lord. And then we think that the only way we can support the building is have alcohol in the building.
Not enough to have a little champagne. Not enough to have a little wine. Now we get the word that the reason folk are not renting the building is because they can't drink Hennessy. And we start getting weak. Oh, well, I don't know how we go. It's the Lord's building. It's the Lord's building. And the Lord will provide. And the Lord will make a way. And the Lord will open doors. We don't have to succumb to make decisions without inquiring of the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. Call a prayer meeting. Call a fast. Talk to the Lord about it.
I'll tell you, when you got this monkey on your back, when you got this $14,000, $15,000 a month mortgage and you're the leader, you get weak sometimes. I'm just a human being. I know the mortgage got to be paid. But the Lord told me the other day, he says, If I wasn't in it in the first place, then you're on your own. But if I was in it, where the Lord guides, he provides. Do I have a witness in the house? He says, don't you get weary in well doing. Don't you succumb to make decisions to let the world rule my house. This is not the bar house. This is my house. This is Christian Education House. This is, you inquire of the Lord. Call a special prayer meeting for God's sake. Fast. Tarry. Wait on the Lord. Ask folk. Preach to the people. Tell them about my word. And we make too many decisions today. Students go to the wrong college. They just know good and well, rather than going to Princeton, you ought to go to Bergen. Rather than going to Bergen, you might ought to go to Virginia Union or Delaware State or black colleges where they try to do extra to make sure you graduate. Because you go down some of these big schools, they don't care nothing about you. You were there for two semesters, and your little tail is home. And all you can say is, I attended Harvard for 6 weeks. But some other folks say, I struggle at Delaware State. I struggle at Spelman. I struggle at Hampton University. I struggle at Cheney State. I struggle at these black colleges. But look at here. I'm a graduate. I graduated 5 years later. You better inquire of the Lord. Not just because your boo with me. Maybe your boo is Bo. I don't know. Inquire of the Lord. You're not. There's some decisions you don't need the Lord's decision help on. You don't need the Lord's decision. Well, maybe you do. To figure out how high your heels are. Maybe you do. Maybe that's the wrong one. Maybe you do need a little help. I ain't gonna lie to you. Heels can make a difference. I'm just talking to you as a man, but you know, but you better inquire of the Lord sometime. Maybe you do need a little help on how the heels will be, because that might lead you down the wrong road. Do I have a witness in the house here? What I'm trying to say is, don't bother the Lord with some of that junk. But a major stuff like, what college do I go to? Who do I hook up with? Who should be my friends? You need to talk to the Lord about it. Now, let me tell you something. The devil doesn't always make a frontal attack. Sometimes the devil disguises himself.
No, 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 no. Oh, sometimes the devil disguises herself. We always talking about himself, herself, himself. But sometimes the devil will come as a wolf in sheep's clothes. Do I have a witness in the house? And the devil will get in your little group and in your little family and into a little situation and mess with your mind. And you know, he or she is not necessary. They don't destroy you. They just weaken you. They just rob you of your strength and rob you of your peace, and you have no energy and you have no power. You just kind of moping around. Do I have a witness in here? You're no longer a conqueror. You're just a weakling trying to do something in Jesus' name. And every now and then you and I have to inquire of the Lord so that you know that you will make the right decision. How many of you have ever made the wrong decision and you just had to live with the wrong decision? But every now, before you get in the mess, talk to the Lord about it. How many of you wish that you had talked to the Lord before you got into that mess?
Here it is that Israelites, when the Gibeonites lied and deceived, and Joshua was the president, if you will, had all of his lieutenants, the deacons, and the trustees around him. And he went out there and they sampled the food. Because they pretended like, you know, they came from a long ways. When they started out, the food was fresh. And now the food is all dried up and molded. And they said, well, you know, we had some good wine when we started out. We had this good wine. Now look at the wineskin. They all dried up. Look at our clothes. We had some nice clothes when we started out. Everything is messed up right now. And then he sent Deacon Robinson out there and said, check out the chitlins. Check out the food. Send somebody else out there. I don't know who want to be the wine taster. Send somebody else out there. Check out the wine. And somebody else look at school. And they made a decision that they really were bona fide, except they forgot to ask God about it. Then once they forgot to ask God, 3 days later, I don't know why it is that stuff seems to come clear 3 days later. You ever thought about that? Yeah. Just three, you know, if you just waited 3 days later before you married the Joker. I mean, you just waited 3 days later before you got into the relationship with her. And now that you made the wrong decision, you got to try to correct a bad decision. Joshua says, we're not going to kill them. We're going to make them woodcutters and water carriers. They will be our servants for the rest of their lives. But how many of you know that sometimes God is not, a good decision is not enough for God. God wants our best. If you got to live with good, when you could have had Beth. Hello, somebody. And you know, you can get along with good. And when you consider the alternative, good ain't bad. But one day when you wake up and say, oh my God, if I had just inquired of the Lord, I could have had Beth. I could have been thriving. I could have been soaring. I could have been on the mountaintop. God, if I had just waited 3 more days, if I had just prayed, I heard Reverend say, why don't you come to prayer meeting? But I didn't think nothing really happened in prayer meeting. But if I had just gone 2 times, if I had just fasted, I would have lost more than my weight. I would have lost this bad relationship. I just tarried. Here's the bottom line. It ain't enough just to talk about God's been good. It ain't enough just to get up and sing about God's been good. But you have to sing about it to get ready for the next decision that you got to make.
You made a couple bad ones, and you're living with them. The next time, it's one thing to make bad decisions, have to live with it. It's another thing to keep on making the same stupid decision. Come to church and say, God's been good because he kept me in my mess. He'd be better if I didn't have the mess. God says, first of all, the Israelites, they didn't inquire with God to ask him about the Gibeonites. They just tested the food. Said, oh yeah, they must be for real. And then when they found out they made a bad decision, they didn't even check with God about making them woodcutters and water carriers. They decided, we made a bad decision, we're going to try to make the best of a bad decision, and we're not going to ask God about it. Inquire of the Lord. Pray. Sometimes the reason we don't inquire of the Lord, because how many of you know, we drift, we start out, we do our little devotional for about 2 minutes, we don't pray anymore. We don't have our own quiet time anymore. We don't spend any time with God anymore. God doesn't even come into our minds when we have to make a major decision. You buying a house right now, you better inquire of God. Oh God, I remember when we bought our house. I just prayed, God, I hope it's the right decision. I remember when I bought, what car it was we had at the time. But I saw this, I think Michael and I were somewhere, I saw this Toyota, what is that thing? Highlander. Beautiful, black. Oh God, it was pretty. It was in the showroom. And my male egoism kicked in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I remember when I was down in Virginia and I saw this canary yellow Mercedes, used diesel, look good on the outside, a mess on the inside, but I didn't ask God about it. I really was listening to Reverend Perrier, because he had this Mercedes, and it was always clean, it was always sharp. I was a young dude. I talked to Klein Buick over there. Talked to Mr. Klein. He was a Jewish guy. I said, I bought me a Mercedes. He said, you can't afford a Mercedes. And I got mad at it. White guy telling me what I can afford. Who are you? You know what? He was as right as he could be. Talk to God. Before you make these major decisions, look at somebody. Help me preach this thing. Tell them, talk to God. Never mind talking to Schneider and whoever else you might talk to. Never mind talking to your boo who promised you, yeah, I'm going to help you, baby. I'm gonna help you. You got me, hey. And when trouble comes, you look around for that scoundrel. Talking to God. Amen.